Welcome to The Nourished Nervous System, an exploration of stress, the nervous system, and transformative self-care practices for parents and other humans through the lenses of Ayurveda, holistic coaching, somatic practices, herbs, and much, much more. I'm the host, Kristen Timchak, a holistic life coach, Ayurvedic educator, herbalist, and mother of a tiny human. Please join me for information, insight, deep thoughts, and small steps to help you nourish your nervous system. Welcome and welcome back to the Nourish Nervous System. I'm so happy you're here today. I have a really amazing guest today. Her name is Carrie Levine, and she's a certified nurse midwife and an Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner. Carrie evaluates and treats most common women's health concerns, incorporating gynecology and functional medicine. She's also the author of Whole Woman Health, which is an amazing book looking at women's health through the lens of functional medicine. I just love this conversation with Carrie today. We talk about hormones and stress and thyroid health, and as well as this central concept that our healing journeys are our own in all of their totality of messiness and imperfection, that we are each on our own unique journey and how to honor that. So I'm really grateful to have Carrie on. She just is so articulate. She's so warm and just has so much to offer. So I hope you enjoy the conversation as well. Before we begin, I'll just remind you that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and should not be considered health or mental health advice. Anything said should not be taken as a replacement for medical, clinical, professional advice, diagnosis, or medical intervention. Hi, Carrie. So happy to have you here on the show today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I thought to begin, I would love to have you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your path to where you are right now.
Sure. So my name is Carrie Levine, and I am the owner of Whole Woman Health, a clinical practice in Mid-Coast, Maine, and the author of a book by the same title. And my degree is in nurse midwifery. And that really happened because when I got to graduate school, I fell into a group of women who were all going to be midwives. I was going to be a women's health nurse practitioner, but all the women I sort of aligned with were going to be midwives. And I didn't really even fully understand what nurse midwives did. And I got a job on a labor and delivery floor at the Cleveland Clinic. I was in Cleveland, Ohio, as a nursing unit assistant. And the nurses knew I was in nursing school, midwifery school. And so instead of, you know, stripping beds, they would often pop me in a labor room with a woman, with a woman to tend to her while they did the things that needed to happen. And I had spent many years in experiential education, sort of taking women backpacking and rock climbing and those kinds of things. And when I got into the labor room, there was a real familiarity to that of like, oh, this is women doing hard things. I know how to do that. So there was an affinity and an alignment with that I loved. And practice at our local community hospital as a full scope midwife for 7.5 years. And during that time, I had 2 children. And so between having my own kids, breastfeeding my own kids, and tending births, I was super burnt out and was sort of always looking for another job that didn't involve being on call. And I found a position at a world-renowned clinic called Women to Women in Yarmouth, Maine, which has since closed. But when I got there, they practiced a model of healthcare called functional medicine, and functional medicine really gave me language for everything that I had understood about health but didn't have words for, and kind of fell in love with it there. And they initiated my training, which was the beginning of a certification process. And about 7 years into working there, I was feeling like, what's my trajectory here? You know, what am I going to do when I'm a 60-year-old woman? Am I going to want to be commuting an hour and 15 minutes every day and trying to get enough time off to help care for maybe grandchildren and an aging parent? And I had what's often referred to as an entrepreneurial crisis. And I thought, I have to start my own practice. I have to start my own practice while I'm young enough and I have the energy to start my own practice. So that when I'm old and I'm tired, it's really well established and I can have the flexibility that I need to work for a long time. You know, when I can see a couple hours of patients in the morning and go home and take a nap and then potter in the garden and then maybe see a couple more patients as I age. And so I opened the clinic. And when I opened the clinic, I decided to be primarily a cash practice, which is not fully comfortable for me in terms of access. And that was a huge piece of what motivated me in writing the book, was to try and increase access for women who couldn't necessarily afford or geographically access this model of healthcare. And the Institute for Functional Medicine, the organization that I'm certified through, has a teaching tool called the Functional Medicine Matrix that they use when they're training people in functional medicine to help figure out a plan of care and what's going on. And it sort of provided the perfect outline for a book in my mind. And I often had women say, is there a book I can read? Because I'd like to understand this a little bit more. And there really wasn't. There was really no book that provided sort of the 20,000 foot view of functional medicine. You know, it's not surprising to learn that the publishing industry did to books what healthcare did to healthcare, which is it really parsed it out and segmented it. And so you can find books on specific issues, but you couldn't necessarily find a book on the bigger concept. And that was the book that I really wanted to write and was discouraged from writing and wrote anyway.
Oh, well, I'm so glad your book is so good. It's so good. It's so easy to read. It's so well written. And I feel like, yeah, it just gives so much information that's really accessible and implementable, which is really awesome. But before we get into your book more, I ask all my guests this question. What does self-care currently look like for you?
So on Tuesdays, I don't see patients and I Zoom train for an hour and then go for a run in the woods with my dog. It looks like trying to get enough sleep. It looks like a regular yoga practice. It looks like as much time outside as possible. I like to take in medicine largely through tea. So I do a lot of tea drinking and body work as often as I can, because I find that super, super therapeutic and comforting and wonderful to sort of be on the receiving end of a caregiving equation.
I love that. So can you speak a little bit for folks who maybe are not familiar with the basics of what functional medicine is and how it might be different than other systems?
Of course. So functional medicine is a systems biology approach to addressing chronic disease and illness. And what that means is that it looks at the way that symptoms are interconnected instead of siloing them off into individual specialties.
I love that. Because everything is connected.
Everything is connected, it turns out.
I think about that. Everything's connected in our bodies. Because in Ayurvedic thought, we're also just connected to the earth. And that's one of the beauties of Ayurveda, is seeing that reflection of, oh, what's happening out there on the earth is also happening in my body. So it's not just that we're these little bodies that are, everything's connected inside. We're also connected to everything outside of us.
Totally. Right. And there's like the visual and the non-visual that we're connected to. Right. So we can extend it even further beyond the concrete, tangible earth and that which is outside. There's also the non-tangible elements that we're connected with. That was one of the things that I loved about functional medicine. And one of the reasons I fell in love with it was at the center of the matrix is mind, body, spirit, you know? And so it definitely, that is always part of the conversation. You know, when I'm talking with people about nutrition, or I'm talking with people about movement, or I'm talking with people about rest, I'm always sort of bowing to what's happening in the natural world. Because there is I'm speaking to the choir, to you, I know, and probably largely to your audience, but there is an alignment when we align with what's happening in the natural world, yeah. Right? There is a rhythm and an alignment to that that is hugely therapeutic, that modern living so often pulls us so extremely out of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with you 100%. I talk about that a lot. One of the things I love about your book is how real you are. It's very approachable. It's not coming from a, I know more than you and I'm going to teach you this thing. It's coming from this place of real humbleness and vulnerability. And I loved in the beginning of the book, you talk about embracing the mess. And I just recently did an episode about perfectionism because I think it's something that's just so rampant in our society. One of the things you said that I really love, that really resonated, was many women feel as though they are at fault when they don't feel well. But you don't have to be perfect to be whole. So can you speak a little bit to that concept?
Yeah, that's so funny. So that really came from a visioning session that I did as I was thinking about this entire project and this idea that we have to be perfect to be well is such a burden for women. You know, we just are so hard on ourselves in so many ways. And, you know, I see women who in general are, you know, relatively motivated and relatively resourced and relatively educated, and still, you know, and they'll come in and be like, maybe I just shouldn't have blah, 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 blah. And then I would feel better, you know, and there is this like hardness that we have toward ourselves. And when we don't feel well, we feel like a failure. I don't know what that wiring is. I mean, I know it's coming largely from our society, but it's also for some women, it's real, right? Like they work really, really hard and they still don't feel well. So there's that possibility too. But I feel like there has to be room to be human, mm-hmm. right? Like it's not about doing what is best for us 1,000% of the time, because not very many people live that way. And many people who live that way, it's the perfectionism that you're speaking of, which is like a different problem in my mind. You know, I think about a woman who came in with gut issues and she had been following an autoimmune protocol diet, which is hugely restrictive and is intended as a therapeutic nutrition intervention for 3 years. Mm. She'd been following that for 3 years, even though she wasn't really feeling better. It kept her stable, but there was no resolution. And I thought to myself, my dear, what do we do to ourselves mm-hmm. in the name of wellness? You know, what standards do we hold ourselves to? What restrictions do we feel we have to adhere to feel well? And it's not always good.
Yes, I agree with that. I definitely have experienced that in my own life and healing journey, especially as a younger person, of I need to do this perfectly. I need to follow this diet. And there's a stress that comes with that, that I feel like counteracts whatever good things that you might be doing with the diet or with whatever it is. It's like when it feels so stressful to maintain something, I think it's actually counter effects the benefits that you could be having in your body.
Yeah. Totally 100% agree. Yeah. Which is why I talk with people about taking some of these therapeutic nutrition interventions and personalizing them, right? Like for some women, they can do, let's say, an anti-candida diet, which is no sugar, nothing aged or fermented, of which coffee is, you know, and they're like, I can do it except for the coffee. Like it is unfathomable to me to think about not having coffee. And I'm like, okay, then have your coffee. Like, I don't think it's coffee that has created your health issues. And if it is, you're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So like, if that's the thing that's going to make or break your healing process, let's just welcome it in. Let's just be like, come on in, coffee. You are welcome here for the exact reason that you spoke to, which is like the stress of following something quote unquote perfectly can be so counter to the intention of healing that it's just flat not worth it.
Yeah, I agree. I talk a lot about stress on my podcast and self-care and resilience. And reading your book, I loved how you break down the body systems into these nodes. And specifically, the communication node with the thyroid was really interesting to me because so many people, myself included, some people I know have Hashimoto's or hypothyroidism. And I feel like for me, I can really trace it back to stress and overworking and taxing my adrenals. And so I'd love if you talk a little bit about the relationship between the thyroid and the adrenals and stress.
Oh, sure. I will say that the communication node was the one that started me on my certification process, because when I was at Women to Women in Yarmouth, I had so many women with hypothyroidism, and I was like, I am not trained to take care of this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I need more education. And at the time, Dr. Dan Spratt, who used to be the chief of reproductive endocrinology at Maine Med, was the most gracious consultant. And I would call him almost with every round of thyroid labs that I ordered before I made a treatment plan. Like, here are the numbers. Here's what I'm thinking. What do you think, Dan? Like, I was so feeling at the edge of my scope of practice. And he was always willing to talk it through with me, which was super lovely. So I think that one of the most valuable pearls around hypothyroid, just to speak about hypothyroid specifically, that about for women to know is that about 90% of hypothyroidism in women is undiagnosed gluten and dairy sensitivity. So it's a really easy place to start in terms of healing. And autoimmune thyroid is just when that has gone on sort of for too long and the immune system gets kicked on. Mm-hmm. So it's worth sort of looking at your family lineage to see, is there anybody else with hypothyroid, anybody else with autoimmune disease? And you can sort of trace it around and then land on yourself. So that's just a little clinical pearl to pass along. The thyroid, the ovaries, and the adrenals are on the same axis, and it's called the Wellen. It actually expands to the hypothalamus, which is a section of the brain, the pituitary, the thyroid, the adrenals, and the gonads, which in women are the ovaries. So it's the HPATG axis. And these organ systems are connected. There are feedback loops that are bidirectional between all of them. And so the adrenals' primary job is to make cortisol, which is responsible for our stress response, as well as epinephrine and norepinephrine. Adrenals also make a little bit of sex hormone, so that if a woman were to have a total hysterectomy and have no ovaries, she would still get some sex hormone production from the adrenals, primarily DHEA, which is the precursor to testosterone, which is the precursor to estrogen. So there are no off switch per se with hormone production, even during menopause and even for a woman who doesn't have any ovaries. So the adrenals are primarily responsible for our stress response. Our ovaries are primarily responsible for our sex hormone production. And the thyroid is considered a sentinel gland, meaning it is sort of command central. And there are thyroid receptors in almost every organ of the body. And so if any one of those organ systems is impacted, meaning the thyroid, the adrenal, and the ovary, the loop is going to be affected. And it's almost easiest to understand it from a adrenal ovary perspective, because most of us are familiar with skipping periods when we were teenagers and we were stressed out because we had a test or something like that. And so we know that when there's stress, there's an effect on the ovarian hormone production, as evidenced by a cessation of menses or a change in menses. And that is also really visible during midlife when there is this snowball effect to our adrenal hormone production, our cortisol, and the declining levels of ovarian hormone production, where the body is just like, yeah, no, can't do it anymore. Sorry. Nope. You're not training hard. You're not getting out of bed. You're not shorting yourself on sleep. Like, nope. And here are some hot flashes, night sets, vaginal dryness, heavy bleeding, no bleeding, worsening PMS, just to make sure you do what you need to do to take care of yourself, which is rest, speaking to your topic of interest. And so they're connected, right? And then again, if like you're eating foods that are inflammatory for you and that's affecting your thyroid function, you are likely to see a change in ovarian hormone production and adrenal function as well, seen as hormone imbalance and a loss of resilience to stress. Mm. So they're on a loop and they're interconnected, and you can intervene on any or all of the levels to foster a rebalance of what's going on in someone's body.
Hmm. And so what are some things that you might recommend to people to cultivate more resilience in relationship to those? Mm.
Yeah. I mean, you probably will not be surprised to hear this, but my absolute favorite thing to do is take women out of work for 3 months and put them to bed. Which is not always realistic, but it is my favorite thing to do. As I say to women, there is no medicine that can do for you what rest can do for you. If you have worn yourself out physiologically, right, from a physiologic hormone production standpoint, if you have worn yourself out, there is nothing that will help people recover as quickly as rest. So if taking a leave from work or their lifestyle prohibits them from doing that, then I encourage them to do what they can, which is to, you know, keep life simple, try not to make too many plans, allow for quiet time on the weekend, nature immersion, right? Let the earth carry part of it. Let the smells and the sounds of the natural world heal the nervous system. You know, decrease stimulation, right? So like, don't try and cook dinner, help the kids with homework, and answer the phone all at the same time. I mean, I remember that myself when I had, there were young children, feeling like if I was in the middle of cooking dinner and the phone rang, it just about sent me over the top. Like I just couldn't, it was too much. Mm-hmm. And similar, if my husband walked in the room and was like, do you mind if I turn the news on? Like if I turn on the radio, and I'd be like, yeah, actually I kind of do, because I feel like I'm juggling about as much as I can right now in terms of, you know, the chitter chatter of children and answering their million questions and preparing a meal. So decreasing stimulation, I find, is super duper helpful. You know, being careful with exercise. A lot of women will feel like, I read if I'm tired, then I should exercise and I'll have more energy, which is not true when the adrenals are depleted at all. So I talk with people about restorative movement, quiet walks in the woods, yin yoga, those kinds of movements or exercise. You know, staying away from foods that are stimulating alcohol, caffeine, sugar, staying away from foods that are inflammatory, processed food, again, sugar, stimulants, you know, trying to eat as much from the earth as is possible, lots of vegetables. And then we'll talk about supplements as potential supports, right? So the adaptogenic herbs, ashwagandha, astragalus, schisandra, jujube fruit, those kinds of things, either in supplement or tea or tincture, or whatever way is most amenable to people that can be supportive and feel nourishing for them.
Awesome. That is such helpful information. And yeah, I definitely found that when I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, it was probably 2 years after my son was born. And I had my son later in life. I was 42 when I had him. So it was confusing for a while about what was going on in my body. Cause I was like, is this just normal? We were still breastfeeding, we were weaning. And I was like, is this just normal hormonal changes? Is this hormonal changes because I'm 43, 44 now? And then I finally went to the doctor because I was having some heart palpitations and my breathing was shallow. And I went to the doctor for that and they ended up doing some blood work and I turned out to have the Hashimoto's. And so it was so hard as a parent, like you said, to minimize the stimulation as a parent of like a 2.5, 3-year-old child. But, you know, at night before bed, I did yoga nidra practices every night and just found just those ways. And ashwagandha was a huge ally for, still is a huge ally for me in my healing process. But it was just finding those ways that I tend, even though I've had so much experience through Ayurveda and through herbalism about the nervous system. I've been interested in the nervous system for so many years, but actually really bringing the practices in, it's like knowing about the thing and doing the things are sometimes two different things.
Well, totally. I mean, I remember I was a midwife before I had a baby and it was like, you can think you know what there is to know about these things, but there is no teacher like living it. You know, there is just no teacher. And I think you speak to something really, really important, which is those women who are having babies later in life. Mm-hmm. And that convergence of being essentially a midlife woman and being a new mom and breastfeeding and like at a time when the hormones are already shifting and changing for most women. And then you layer that with pregnancy, childbirth, postpartum, and breastfeeding. And it is impossible to tease apart what's what. Like there's just no way to know. The only thing to do, I think, is to try and get at it from as many different directions as you can, which it sounds like you did a beautiful job with for yourself personally. But I do think that there is like an entire generation of women who are having babies in their 40s, and it's extra. Mm-hmm. I think it's extra because there's already changes happening, and like pregnancy, childbirth, postpartum, and breastfeeding as not. Like there's so much fluctuation just in those passages, let alone the midlife. And now you've got like a whole new slurry that is just, it's a lot. It's a lot for a body. I mean, we're built for it and it's normal and it's fine and it's good, but women should be so gentle with themselves during that time because that is a lot.
Yeah. And the other layer of it that I think about and I talk about a lot in the podcast is just this layer of that we're living in this society where we're all as parents, whether you're 20 or you're 40, we're isolated. We don't have the same type of support systems and help that maybe we did before industrialization and the agricultural revolution. And so, yeah, so not only are we women having babies at 40, but they're doing it with such little support. And that just adds to so much more stress in the system.
Agreed. Like the isolation of our modern living is yet another layer.
Yeah. Which I think affects all people in their health, parents or not. I think it's something, that sense of community that we long for, that we often have a hard time finding in this modern world, I think is something that affects all of our health.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there anything else that you want to speak to?
I think maybe just a nod to reminding women that bodies are their own and that the way that we care for ourselves is ultimately our choice, and that standards of care are really just standards, and that it's super important that we stay connected to our values and beliefs about ourselves and life and living and health and wellness, and that we go about taking care of ourselves in a way that's aligned with our deepest values and beliefs. And I think it's really hard to do, particularly when encountering the conventional healthcare system. Mm-hmm. I think that there is a lot of fear. There is a lot of directiveness. And many, many women, when we are in that environment and in that situation, we lose ourselves, we lose our voice, we lose our inner way of knowing. And I think science and medicine have a lot to offer, but it's for each of us to navigate our health and our life the way that we want. You know, I take care of women who walk through the door at the clinic and say, I'm depressed, I want an antidepressant. And I take care of women who walk through the door at the clinic and say, I'm depressed. There must be something else other than medication that I can do. And neither of those approaches is wrong. You know, there's nothing wrong for a woman to choose, you know, surgery, radiation, and chemo when she's diagnosed with breast cancer. And there's nothing wrong with her choosing to not do those things. And I feel like that gets lost and we forget.
Yes. Yes. Or there can sometimes even be pressure from outside, from families or from outside forces to go one way or the other.
Totally, totally, totally. You know, it's like, you can wake up with neck pain and be like, whoa, my neck is so sore, and think, I'm going to stretch it out. I'm going to get in the bath. I'm going to put on a tiger balm patch. I'm going to see if I can get an appointment with a hands-on caregiver. And there's, I could take in a leave. I could take a, you know, a naproxen, and I can just get on with my day. And it's for each of us to decide how we want to do that, how we want to deal with our neck pain, so to speak. And, you know, a partner might be like, why don't you just take some Tylenol, give yourself a break, you know, like get on with your day. Like, well, because I don't want to, because that's not how I want to deal with it, because I feel like it's there for a reason and I'd like to understand why and I'd like to heal it, as opposed to just band-aiding it. Or maybe it's both. I want to get the actual relief that medication can provide, and I still want to do all those other things too. And so I agree with you, you know, that the pressure can come from a variety of different places, including ourselves, as we spoke about at the beginning, right? Which is like, whatever ideas we have about the way we think we should do something, and where do those ideas come from, and are they actually aligned with our values symbol in the way that we want to live.
I love that. It's super empowering. And I love in your book how you talk about that intersection between intuition and scientific knowledge. I feel the same way when I work with clients in the coaching. It's just, I really believe that people know what's best for themselves deep down. If we can just quiet down the noise and really listen to our bodies, we know what we need to do. And so I love that you spoke to that. It's really beautiful. Yeah. And so, So if people want to find your book, because I really think people should find your book, where can they find it?
So you can find it online at all the major online retailers. You know, what I tell people is bookshop.com will allow people to purchase through, like, online, but through their local bookstores. So it supports indie bookstores, which I love. And then more locally in Maine, people can find it at Sherman's. Arctic Tern in Rockland has it. Mockingbird in Bath has it. I'm trying to think of who else has it. Beauty Mark in Portland has it. Coastal Pharmacy and Wellness in Portland has it. So there's a variety of local places. And then there's always going online to the big sellers, and then the bookshop.org if you want to support a local bookstore. Don't know that it's made it to the bookstore in Belfast yet, but that would be a lovely day trip.
Yes. Awesome. I like to end each episode with a small action step for listeners. Would you be willing to give one small step, something simple that they can integrate into their lives?
Eat vegetables, lots and lots of vegetables. You know, vegetables are good for a bazillion reasons, a few of which are that they're high in fiber, which fuels the good bacteria in our gut microbiome, which fuels our immune system, decreases inflammation, supports hormone detoxification. Vegetables are rich in phytonutrients, those smaller molecules that have huge therapeutic benefits. You know, they're the way to keep our cells healthy and promote longevity. So you and I are lucky enough to live in a place where we can access beautiful vegetables most of the year, which I am so grateful for.
Me too. It's one of the things that was on my list of reasons to move here.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, I feel like we kind of take for granted our access to local, super nutrient dense, high quality food is exceptional. And I only have to go visit people in other places to be reminded of how fortunate we are here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, Carrie, it has been such an absolute pleasure to have you today. Just your wisdom, your warmth, and just everything that you've shared has been really beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to connect with you.
Hi, it's me again. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Carrie Levine. I know I certainly did. And I hope you got some little nuggets of wisdom that you can bring into your life wherever you are at on your journey. And if you enjoyed the episode, please share it. Share it with a friend. Share it on social media. If you share it on Instagram, tag me at Nourished Nervous System. And if you want to check out Carrie, then you can go to the show notes and you can find her website as well as a link to bookshop.org where you can check her book out. Okay, friend, I hope that you have a really nourishing week and I'll be back with you next week. Hey there. Thanks for listening. I want to let you know about a couple resources I have if you're interested in going a little deeper. I have a deep rest meditation as well as a Nourished for Resilience workbook. There'll be links in the show notes if you're interested in checking them out. And I'm also currently offering one-on-one coaching around nervous system health, self-care. I like to weave in Ayurveda, herbs, somatics, if it makes sense. So if you're interested in seeing if we're a good fit, I have a schedule for booking an exploratory call as well. Hope to connect with you soon. Have a great week.